Hello, and welcome again to the OTP, the one true podcast for fanfiction readers, writers, and lovers. I am your host and mod, Enthusiasm Girl. So, this week's topic is a really interesting one, because we're going to be talking about why the characters who we love spend so much time in the world of fanfiction absolutely suffering. Whether it's physical pain or mental anguish, torture, or just a deep romantic pining that goes largely unfulfilled, we're talking today about angst, wump, and hurt comfort. And our contributors are the great angst lovers, Birdie and Bio. Now, a brief warning, we do touch on the various things that cause angst in this episode, and it's not exactly going to be all happiness and sunshine, so if discussions about torture, mental illness, and general sadness are not your thing, that's fine, but maybe skip this one and come back next week for something fluffier. Now, on with the show. The topic today is angst, wump, and hurt comfort. So essentially three varieties of torturing your characters. And the reason I'm talking to Birdie and Bio is because they are apparently both great aficionados of reading all three of those. So Birdie, do you want to tell us a little bit about your history with loving angst, hurt comfort, wump?
Well, it's always been something that I just love to read and write since I've started writing, God. 07. It's so much fun to torture your characters and emotionally and physically and then make it all better.
And what about you, Bio? What do you want to tell us a little bit about your history with those types of fic?
Yeah, when I first started reading fanfiction, I actually really wasn't into that sort of thing. I really was more into like plotty stuff and more fluff. It wasn't until a few years ago when I started writing more fics where my characters were in a lot of unhappiness and pain that I really started reading it, and I was like, oh, this is something that I really, really like.
Do you write it and read it, or do you read a variety of stuff, or write a variety of stuff?
Both. I tend to write whatever I feel like writing. I've written some pretty dark, angsty stuff. Sometimes I just feel like killing all the characters and watching everybody else suffer for it. Hurt comfort is more really one of my favorite things to write and read, just because I always love the comfort part's the best once you work for it.
All right, Bio. What about you? Do you write it and read it, or just read it, or just write it?
I both read and write it. The main thing that I write that I guess is classified as angst is I write a lot of mental illness fic, and I also read a lot of that as well. I really like reading hard wump stuff, but I don't really write a lot of it. I'm more into really digging into the emotional roughness and the intensity, and I think that that's why it draws me to the genre.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the difference between angst and hurt comfort and wump, because as I mentioned, they're all varieties on the same thing, but they are kind of a little bit of different flavors. So we'll go to you, Bio. How do you define angst?
I think angst can encompass both of those things, although I see angst tagged from everything to somebody's upset that they don't have a cupcake to somebody has been, you know, mutilated. So I feel like angst is really, it encompasses a wide variety of genres. I don't know if I would classify it as, I guess I would classify it as a genre with hurt comfort and wump underneath it, as well as other experiences.
So what's the difference between angst and wump?
So I think that the difference between angst and wump is, again, angst is more general, and you have wump, which is this specific thing where you're just going to pound on those characters as much as they can go until pretty much they break. Usually wump doesn't have them die, but I found that a lot of the wump fics really take a lot of, morbid pleasure in torturing the characters till they almost die. And then they bring them back at the end. And so I found that a lot of wump fics might count a little bit as hurt comfort, because you do get like maybe a few paragraphs at the end, and it's like, oh, and then this sort of started to return to normal, because they usually don't kill him off. But yeah, I think that that would be the main difference, is that angst is this more general thing, and Wump is this really intense, almost kill-your-faves thing.
All right. So, Birdie, you said you are a great fan of Hurt Comfort. So let's talk a little bit about how you would define Hurt Comfort and how it's different from Wump.
Well, Hurt Comfort is a bit Wump. Like, you torture your characters, but then you start to build them back. You bring them, you give enough comfort, like, enough good stuff to balance out all the bad stuff that you've just done to that character. So it's sort of, you know, it's both exploring the whole emotional impact of being completely destroyed by something, but also the emotional impact of building back up again, of coming back from that, of getting back to a place where you were before, or moving on, just not quite, just as Wumpy is, just leaving them in that bad space with the glimmer of hope for the future, but this one's getting you back from it.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like with Hurt Comfort, that's the only one of the three I feel like you can have an element of fluff in, right?
Yes.
If it gets really fluffy in the comfort part, then people usually like that about it.
Not me.
No? You don't like any fluff in your Hurt Comfort?
Well, I guess maybe more in reading it, but I found that when I really get into exploring these hard topics where the characters are going through a lot of pain, I kind of think it's hard for me to write that comfort part, because I get so into it that I feel like bringing it out of it and being like, oh, it's the most fluffy thing ever, it almost feels dishonest to me. I know it's not, but that's what it always seems to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a preference thing, right? Of how much comfort you want in your Hurt Comfort fic versus how much hurt.
Yeah.
Really like the hurt.
So we'll go just to talking a little bit about angst. So what traits, and we'll start with you, Birdie. So what traits do you think a fic has to have, really, to qualify it as angst?
Well, it's got to have some sort of actual pain and suffering. Like, angst is one of those things that's tagged really, really everywhere on AO3. Like, looking up the rec fics for this pod fic, I went through my bookmarks and half the fics were tagged with angst. Some of them just didn't really qualify. It's not just the, someone's sad. It's the deliberate, sort of more deliberate, there is an emotional or physical suffering.
Angst is one of the original fanfiction.net categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's kind of like when you're calling music rock. You know, there are so many things that can mean that it just becomes a catch-all for basically all fan fiction ever, really, that's not fluff.
Yeah, I think that's getting down to the problem. The thing with it is just angst became a catch-all term. So if it's not absolutely teeth-rottenly sweet, most people will classify it as angst. Because angst is conflict. Angst is a problem. And if it's not a plotty problem, then it's probably an angsty problem. Someone angsting over their relationship not working out.
Well, I think anything psychological, right? That's not mm-hmm. external. Bio, what do you think? When you're reading a fic, what are the times that you're getting mad that it's called angst, or you're thinking, well, this isn't really angst?
I guess I agree with what Birdie says, is there has to really be some sort of conflict, and the story has to center on that conflict. One of the things is the reason that I don't really sort by angst anymore is that people will tag things like both angst and fluff at the same time. And it'll be because they'll have a completely fluffy story, but then they'll have that, it's like a romantic comedy, like they'll have that one point in the story where it's like, and this is where it got really rough with the characters, and then they almost broke up. Will they ever get back together? And I mean, I'm always asking if they ever get back together. As if a story tagged with their pairing won't. But people will tag it as angst because they'll have that angsty moment, because you have this moment of really serious conflict, but maybe Birdie looks like she might disagree.
I do agree. I was just thinking that AO3 actually has a fluff and angst tag. And when I was sorting through my bookmarks to look for angsty fics, it would pick it up as an angst fic, not as a fluff and angst. So the tag, whatever tag wrangling's been done, has put it in as just angst, not, or it might get picked up for fluff. I didn't bother to check.
So my question bio then to you is, if you don't search by angst anymore, do you have equivalent terms that are used better that you search for? Because the one that comes to my mind, for example, is feels.
Yeah, no, right? I don't search by feels. Sometimes I'll search by type of fic. So if I'm in a fandom, I'll pretty much read every fic about mood disorders that they have. I'll sort by depression and bipolar disorder, usually in a fandom first, to see what they have. There's usually not that much, because it's sad. And then after that, I'll search for WOMP fics, and then I'll get the little list of WOMP fics, and then, you know, I'll see all the tropey stuff and basically pick from the tropey stuff what they have. But I usually have a lot more luck searching by WOMP and searching by the different tags that I know are tropes that I like than searching by angst in general.
So let's talk a little bit about the use of the word feels, because feels can sometimes be equivalent to angst. So Birdie, how do you feel about the tag feels? Do you think it is the equivalent, or is there maybe a slight difference?
Feels sometimes tends to me to argue that it's making the responder to feel emotions more than the characters are feeling emotions. Like, mm-hmm. You're going, my feels, it's like the writer thinks that whatever they've written will cause an emotional response in the reader more so than the characters are having feels.
Yeah, I guess that's actually true, yeah. That it's usually based on, this fic is going to give you feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I find usually that goes in the direction of angsty feelings, right? Or they'll specify the kind of feels it's supposed to give you, and if it's supposed to make you sad or if it's supposed to make you feel angsty, that usually what's happened to the characters would be the same.
Generally, yes, but sometimes they would tag a fluffy fic with feels because you're going to come out of it really, really happy.
That's true. That's absolutely true. So what do you think about the idea that angst can sometimes mean a character wallowing a little bit in self-pity, right? It can sometimes be very much about introspective, depressive, kind of everything sucks and I can't get out of bed type of angst. Like, how do you guys feel about that particular flavor of angst? Bio, how do you feel about it?
I eat that up for breakfast. Provided it's written well, because there are some fics where I can tell, like, I eat that up for breakfast if I can tell, and I usually can, that the author knows what that's like they have experienced it, or they have a friend who's been through a similar situation, because those situations do exist in real life. But then there are some that are like, I don't know if this is necessarily the most realistic portrayal of this, but also if a character is like, yeah, no, I do like it when they wallow in self-pity quite a lot, I retract my statement, because even if it's bad, I'll probably read it. Sorry, but yeah, no, I like those, and I like the ones where characters get physically beat up really good, and then there's some others that I don't care for, but yeah, I will read those, and I think that they're an important part to have in fandom, because it can be such a psychological, interactive thing to hear what the characters are thinking. You don't get that in the show or book, usually.
So, Birdie, how do you feel about that type of fic? Do you read a lot of stuff that's kind of self-pity, or do you like maybe something else?
I read the really well-done self-pity ones, but the thing is, it's one of those ways, like, tropes or something that can be done really badly, really badly. Like, tell sometimes when someone's out, the character is just out of character, that yeah, mm-hmm. they might wallow self-pity, but I don't think they do this. Like, you can just sort of tell the character. Sometimes the character almost feels like the author's avatar, which is perfectly fine. I have no problems with self-avatars like that, but it can be annoying when the character is down out of character in order to be this avatar. It's not just the author working through their emotions. It's they're just writing what they feel and using the character. Not just they're writing what they feel, but they're using the character just as a name instead of a person, mm-hmm. fully character thing. So it's one of those things that I sometimes will back button quite quickly, possibly without giving a fic a chance. If it goes too far too soon, I'm just like, no, I can't. You're being too self-pitying, out of character.
Yeah, that'll be the one thing that makes me backspace out, because I will read the ones that, like, really, really get into it, and really the character is, like, the most dejected, and it can't, like, if it gets a little bit out of character and I really like how, like, the process of how the fic is going, or if I'm really thirsty because it's the only fic about depression in the entire fandom, I'll totally read that. But, yeah, there, once it gets to a certain point, it just, like, it's not the fic anymore, and if I didn't want to read fic, I wouldn't be reading it. So yeah, I don't want just the name and then all the sad.
Okay, now do you think, because we just touched on this, do you think that with angst, that it is saying a specific thing about the author? So as an example, I mean, you can have angst, like you said, where somebody's angsting about, oh, they don't have the flavor of muffin I want today. And then you can have angst where somebody's working through, you know, depression, disability, very serious issues. And it can be done in a way where you can definitely get a sense that the author has experienced that or knows someone who does. So do you think with angst that it's more likely with angst than, say, with fluff or with plotty fix that you are going to get a sense of the author's own experiences?
I think often you will. Occasionally there are people who can write angst really well who haven't experienced it personally. But generally I found that I tended to write the most angstiest fics when I was completely and utterly ruined emotionally. Like, there was a period of my time when I wasn't dealing very well at high school, and that's when I wrote some pretty most of them didn't make it online, but a couple of them were quite emotionally awful. And but sometimes you do get a better sense of the author than you would get for fluff, because sure, people will borrow things fluff from their own life, but it's more likely to imagine fun and stuff that you haven't personally done. But angst is just something you do because you really want to work through your own emotions a lot of the time.
All right, so Bio, what do you think?
I think that a lot of the difference between angst and fluff is, like, fluff, and to some extent the comfort part of hurt comfort, it's a lot of wish fulfillment. Like, if you're writing a fluffy fic about your two favorite characters going to a carnival and going on a hot air balloon, a lot of people haven't experienced that. But they totally wish that they were in love with somebody who would take them to a carnival and take them on a hot air balloon. It would probably be the most romantic thing in the entire world.
So with angst, there are certain things that kind of seem like people's go-to for angst, though. So, and that would be things like mental illness, like you said, Bio. There's a lot of kind of mental illness angst around depression and bipolar disorders and autism and, you know, learning disabilities and various things of that nature. There tends to be a lot of angst that gets written around, you know, disabilities, especially because we come from Daredevil fandom, you know, and Matt is blind. So there tends to be any character who has a disability or has something like that that's part of their life, there will be much, much, much angst around that. And certain characters obviously lend themselves more to angst. There also tends to be a lot of, you know, orphan angst. As anyone who loves superheroes can attest, 99% of them are orphans. So there tends to be a lot of childhood angst, and there's a whole other variety of angst that gets more into WOMP, where you start to get into some really intense things that cause angst. That's when you get into torture, and you get into rape or non-con, or you get into sexual abuse and assault in other ways. Is there a stopping point for you guys with regards to how much angst you will take or the types of angst that you're looking for? I know, Bio, you said it's usually more mental illness-related angst.
And I like the ones where characters get tortured, and I like the ones where they're mentally ill. I like the ones where they're in really bad situations. Like, I have a terrible, naughty love of the ones where characters are really sad prostitutes who get out of being prostitutes. But I don't, there's a lot of people The Rent Boy AUs, they exist in every fandom for a reason. But I don't usually get into the ones that are about rape so much. I don't know, it's just not really something that I usually read. I like a lot of really terrible things.
You know what? In the world of fan fiction, you are definitely not alone. You just need to search a tag on AO3 to know that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all get in the trash dumpster together sometimes, right? Birdie, what about you? Are there particular types of angst that you prefer or that you dislike?
Well, instantly, I'm really not a fan of rape non-con. I will read the fic set after it, but like about the recovery and such sometimes, but for the most part, I can't do the actual thing. It's just not my thing. I'm also angst over dementia and illnesses where the character has lost memory, like lost and can't recover it. It fits too hard to home. I've had too many grandparents. I can't do that sort of stuff. It's too close, because it's the kind of angst that I actually know for my life, and I don't need fic to help me deal with it. But the type of angst I do like is the emotional stuff where you're angsting over relationships, that can relate, and physical stuff where, the ones where you get beat to shit.
Those are great.
Yeah.
See, my whole thing is that I love childhood angst reflection stories, especially if somebody's childhood hasn't been fleshed out, because when I'm watching something, like, sometimes characters will mention backstories and you don't get to see enough of them, and it hits all my angst buttons immediately. So, like, I'm a person who, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, and even though it comes up approximately, you know, for half a second, immediately my brain is formulating a really angsty relationship between Yondu and Pete and what that childhood was like. And, you know, oh my God, he was an orphan in space on a ship and he was a little kid and he had no way of knowing what was happening. And I have all of this childhood angst all of a sudden just kind of going in my brain. I love filling in those backstories like that. But usually my angst that I'm obsessed with is childhood angst and kind of those types of feels of being an orphan. But I have a really hard time with different types of medical angst. So I don't mind if the person's gotten, for example, beaten up. But if the story is them dealing with something like cancer or, as you mentioned, dementia, to me, I sometimes have like hypochondriac tendencies, right? So to me, reading something really detailed about somebody dealing with, you know, horrible cancer and not knowing if they're going to live or not and thinking about what that's like, just I get too panicky about it. Right? It just makes me want to call my doctor. So I have a hard time with those, but yeah, like some of the harder kind of being beat to shit stuff that you guys mentioned and the torture stuff, absolutely up my alley in terms of angst. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned as well, sometimes people will kind of confuse fluff with angst because you also have angst about relationships. Mm-hmm. And you can have very, very angsty stories about relationships versus need to have any kind of fluff. But how do you guys feel about stories that are angsty that are dealing with fully just kind of real romantic angst?
What would you define as romantic angst? Would it be angst plus the relationship and they have like upset in their relationship because the angst is happening?
So I would classify what happens in Nelson v. Murdoch as relationship angst. So your friendship or your romance has been destroyed because somebody has lied, somebody has walked out the door on you, you're trying to make a relationship with this person, but you find out that they cheated, or that type of romantic angst versus like, oh, this relationship is fluffy and they're fine.
I wouldn't say that when I go to AO3 or when I look at Fic Reckless, that's necessarily what I'm looking for. But I won't lie. It's every time like the angst part of all those tropey fics comes along, I'm like riveted to my seat. When it's like that fake dating part where like it has to be done now, like, oh my God, fake dating. Will they ever get together at the end? And of course they're going to get together at the end. That's what a fake dating one is. But in my mind, when there's those points of conflict, like, oh no, they're fighting now. Will they ever get back together? I'm riveted to my seat every time. I don't know why, because I know what's going to happen, but it's still like as exciting as the first time.
There are also a lot of angsty fics that might even be about unrequited relationships.
Oh my god.
Where maybe the intention is for them to stay unrequited. And again, Daredevil fandom, give me a Matt Foggy fic where one of them loves the other one, and especially if, like, there's some really good Foggy Matts where Matt is completely straight.
See, I like those to the extent that I really don't, and this is a personal preference, but I really don't like the ones where one of the characters is straight and goes into a deceitful relationship anyway. Especially, don't hurt Foggy Nelson, please. He's my sweetheart and the light of my life. But don't let bad things happen to good Foggies, okay?
If it's a wrestling with your sexuality type of a fic, though.
Yeah, I'll read the shit out of that. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fandom. I know this is really niche, but it was full of those wrestling with your sexuality stories. And I read all of them. Every single one. It would come up on AO3 and it would be like, look, this fic looks like two other fics that you read. And I was like, click. Sign me up. But yeah, I like those and I really like unrequited ones.
Birdie, how do you feel about those types of romantic relationship angst fics?
I do quite like them. They're one of those things I don't particularly go out and seek particular fics. I generally just go, I want to read the fics in this fandom. List them by kudos and I go through every single one. Mm-hmm. It could take me a month. And then everyone keeps adding fics. It's really annoying. Well, no, it's not really annoying. It's brilliant. But the whole will they, won't they of emotional relationship unrequited love fics where you know they're going to get together at the end. It's sort of like the point of reading, though, is that you might know what the end is, but you still read it anyway. Like, deliberately not knowing is the point of reading. You just skip to the chapter at the end if you want to know the ending, but you deliberately choose not to know. I'm quoting from Pratchett here. And just the idea that I like the build-up, the how it happened, not what happened.
And I think that one of the reasons, because I really do like it when they get together at the end. Those ones are really fun. But I think I haven't really in Daredevil fandom found too many, and this is the one that I like, where one character is really, like, super, super in love with the other character, and the other character loves them back, and they sort of learn to negotiate their friendship, and it's really painful. I seem to mostly find ones where, like, so this means that their relationship is going to be deceitful because they can't leave. And I'm never really into that. I really want them to work through their issues and to be honest with each other. I really like that those fics can be about either honesty or about, I must never let this person know, ever.
Yeah, no, there's something about the whole having to make sure this person doesn't know and having to negotiate how you're going to have this friendship. I mean, that's angst city right there, right? Like, that's just really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm.
So let's move on and let's talk about Hurt Comfort. Okay. So because you mentioned that you particularly like it, Birdie, we'll start with you. What do you think is the difference between really good Hurt Comfort and really bad Hurt Comfort? Like, what types of things make you hit the back button on a Hurt Comfort fic?
Oh, gosh. Well, when the angst isn't equivalent to the comfort, like, if you just go, oh, I've had a slight minor thing, and then you start trying to heap her comfort on it, it's just a fluff fic. Like, if it goes too over the top in either one, you can, same with the angst. Pile on the angst and it's not appropriate, I'm gonna out-click. And there isn't really such a thing as too fluffy, but occasionally they can just be, what? Sort of comfort, and you're just like, that's out of character, almost. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get this strong macho character who doesn't do hugs, just like, hug, 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 hug. Like, what? One hug, okay, that's breaking character, but it's breaking character because you're built up to having that character break character. But if you just have them do it at a drop of a hat, it's like, no, no. So, mainly characterization, in summary, would be the thing. If you sacrifice characterization for your Hurt Comfort, then I'm not going to read your fic.
Yeah, I think balance is important, right? I mean, you don't want to hurt comfort fic that's one paragraph of a character gets a paper cut and 10 paragraphs of the person being hugged to death. Right?
I don't know, that sounds pretty funny, actually. I might read it.
It does sound like a pretty good crack fic. And I think you have to have a character who would offer comfort in your fandom, right? If you've got a fandom where it's kind of like, I'll give Supernatural as an example. If you're writing a Supernatural fic and it's the two brothers, the level of comfort that they would be emotionally able to give one another to stay in character would be very different than, you know, Matt Murdock, Foggy Nelson, where you have a character who it's been established is very much a comforting character, right? So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like if you're in Sherlock fandom, you wouldn't write a fic where Sherlock Holmes was, especially in the BBC one at least, was emotionally comforting, like he's tenderly a bit abrasive, but then you might read a fic where he does a comfort, but he does it in a different way that's clever. That's what the character is.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's a really good example. Because, yeah, like, Sherlock is not a hugger. He's not a person who's attuned emotionally to the stuff going on with John. But there's other ways he might comfort him and offer comfort, but in his own way, right?
Mm-hmm. That makes me think of not just Sherlock or Supernatural, but when I was writing It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's a show about people who are, like, the worst people in the world. I don't know if both of you have seen it, but it's a show about how these people are the worst people in the world, and somehow they stick together, but that doesn't mean they're good people or good to each other. They just are good to each other in the ways that they know how. So you're not going to get the character that comes up and is like, oh my gosh, kiss. You're going to get these characters who are interacting maybe in ways that they think are comforting, but that if another person were in that situation, they'd be like, oh my God, this is scary.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let's talk a little bit and move on from hurt comfort and move over to Wump. What is the difference between well-written good Wump and bad Wump? What makes you hit the back button on a Wump story? So, Bio, we'll start with you on that one.
Makes me hit back button on a Wump story. If I get a little bit in it and it seems like they're not going to hurt the character much, or if it doesn't, sometimes if it doesn't seem very long, I'll be like, well, I don't know how much hurt they can do to the character. Like, I'll skim it, but usually Wump fics are a little bit longer. And so if it's like 400 words, usually they're not hurting the character that much. But in terms of bad Wump fic versus good Wump fic, it doesn't have so much fluff in it. Like, it can have the comfort part at the very, very, very end. But if you have it sort of in a way that it's set up as hurt comfort, then usually that means that those characters aren't getting hurt enough, because the hurt comfort is usually half-half. That's why it has the little slash down the middle. So I think that would probably qualify as bad Wump. Other bad Wump, I think it would be one where the character is experiencing all these really bad things and not suffering in an in-character way. Like, for example, when you have Matt in Born Again, it takes a lot to make him crack, like a ludicrous amount. And when he does, it's beautiful, but it takes a lot to get him there. So if you have a character who is really, like, tough guy, like a superhero or something, and if you give him a paper cut, or even if you, like, hit him once and they're in the most agony and suffering they've ever been in their life, then it's like, no. But I also like reading fics of those characters, because it means that you can just keep hitting them.
Yeah, I feel like Wump to me is a pile-on, right? I think that's why you can't do a short Wump fic.
Exactly.
Because to me, it's the fic where things go from bad to worse to even worse to unimaginably bad. So I love Tony Stark Wump. It's my thing. And you can't just, because he's already been through so much, right? You can't have a Tony Wump fic that just has him kidnapped again. It has to be that he gets kidnapped again, and then he thinks he's got an escape, but then the escape goes sour, and then he finally does escape, but now he's in the middle of the desert, and he can't find anywhere else to go, and he's going to die. And then he finally gets found, but it's by a different set of kidnappers. And it just needs to be kind of, like you said, it needs to get them to the point of where they either break Or where their character, if they're a character who will never break, like, gets close. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the thing that breaks you, is that they even got close.
Right.
So, like, for me, an example is, like, with Tony, I love fics that break him. I love them. Because to me, he's a character who ultimately can be broken. Versus, like, Steve Rogers, that is not a character who really, to me, could be properly broken. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get him close, and if you get him close, that's emotionally devastating, right?
Right.
So, again, you're right that I think Wump depends on the character. It has to be in character being beaten up of how they would react to it. And it needs to be that just everything that can go wrong will go wrong, right? What do you think, Birdie?
Wump has to be in character. And I generally find that I find more interesting to read Wump for a character from the opposite thing they're strong to. Like, you get the physically strong, like, take Matt Murdock. He can take a beating. He can seriously take a punch. He can do, I think it was a fic I saw, a line was like, he's walking around where other men couldn't, got himself home when other men couldn't even stand, sort of. He can take a punch. But emotional stuff is really not his forte. So I'd be more likely to read stuff about him in emotional Wump than I would physical, because physical isn't going to touch him until he's pretty much dead, or not even then. Like, it just isn't going to register as something. But if you put Foggy, on the other hand, who's emotionally more well get put together, physical stuff is really going to break him so much in much more interesting ways than emotional stuff would still break him in interesting ways, but the physical stuff would be more something he's not quite as well used to going up against. So that sort of, I'd rather read about stuff that they're not strong against, because the other stuff just takes forever to break them. And while the build up can be great, it often doesn't affect them. Like, for a long time there, it is just, yep, this is happening. Okay, keep going. If they've been written in character, because that's what the character would do. They'd just keep going. It wouldn't register something wrong yet.
I think it's important because we've been talking about Wump, and maybe we've been giving the impression that Wump is a very physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can have emotional Wump. So, I mean, talking again about Tony, in the example I gave, that's sort of more, a lot of physical Wump of being, you know, stranded in the desert and kidnapped. But you could have emotional Wump where he slowly descends into his alcoholism and Pepper leaves him and then Rhodey abandons him and then the Avengers kick him out and call him just a consultant. And you can have emotional Wump where the story ends with him at the bottom of a bottle. And it can be the same kind of thing. It can be a continual pile-on of just how bad can this get. But it's not coming externally. It's not like somebody is physically picking him up out of his life and it's Tony Wump because they're beating him. So what I want to ask you guys then is, do you guys find that you are capable of really loving fluffy stuff as much as angsty stuff? Or do you really just always gravitate more towards one than the other?
It can do both, I think. Depending on your personality, some people just generally prefer angst more than they prefer fluff, and some people just love, their lives are full of angst already, why do they want to go read more and fic? They'll go towards the fluffy stuff or the plotty stuff, which can also become a form of angst. But I think you can do both. Sometimes you can just depend on your mood. Sometimes you just do not feel like reading angsty stuff because you've had a shit day and you want to be cheered up, so you go read the fluffy stuff. Sometimes you had a great day, so it's like, I feel like emotionally devastating myself. Let's go read some angst.
What about you, Bio?
See, for me, it all depends, because I sort of, when I do want, I have the angsty stuff. This is the sort of fic where the character is suffering, they don't get a lot of comfort, which can sometimes be angst and sometimes be Wump. So I'll read that because the character is suffering more than me, and that makes me feel good.
Get that.
But I also, I mean, I really love all those tropey, like, oh, I guess we have to get married now, or, like, I guess I prompted one recently that's like, oh, we have to get married for reasons, and now that we don't have those reasons anymore, why don't we just stay married? Like, I love that. Why not, right? But yeah, I would say that I like both. Just depends on what I'm looking for.
Do you find that it depends on maybe the characters? Is it ever character dependent for you? Are there some characters who you absolutely only ever want to read angst about, and then other characters who you just would never want to see put through that?
Yeah. When I was in community fandom, the reason I didn't read a lot of, well, there wasn't a lot of angst really in that fandom, and I really liked that because I didn't want those characters to suffer. I just wanted them to be happy and to love each other.
Yeah, the show is angsty enough.
Yeah.
Honestly, because the show is dark, right?
Yeah, it can get pretty dark. And I was writing for it in the hiatus between seasons 3 and 4 and then throughout season 4. So you'll see it all loaded up in my A3 page. And I was writing for it at that point, and I just wanted the characters to be happy. I wanted Troy and Ovid to hug and kiss each other, and I wanted all the... Yeah, they were pairing of my heart. So I just wanted them to be fluffy and cute and happy together. I didn't want them to be sad. But now in other fandoms, like, I find that I'll gravitate to ones where the characters suffer, and then I'll write about or read about those characters suffering.
Bertie, what do you think? Is it character dependent for you? Are there certain characters who you like angst or fluff more for, or are you kind of an equal opportunity punisher when you're reading?
For the most part, equal opportunity. There may be a couple of characters who I just... there's a character in our fandom that I'm going to wreck from later, Cabin Pressure. And Arthur Chappie. I just cannot see him in a physical angst or emotional angst. Emotional angst, because I don't think he really gets that sort of thing. The character is just a big ball of sunshine, and I don't really want him to be emotionally destroyed, because that would... The character is built upon the fact that he's a ball of sunshine and doesn't realize he's a complete and total idiot sometimes. Most. But for the most part, I'm trying to think through all my fandoms. There are very few characters who I would go, I can't read this because I, this is angst because I just can't see the, I can't do it. It's like there's very few characters in the fandoms who just want to wrap up and bubble wrap and keep happy forever. It's not really, sometimes it's just not interesting if all the characters are always happy. There's no conflict. Most of Fix is built around some form of conflict.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
Yeah, and and it's not like when I wrote for Community either, it was like, it was all happy all the time. But I'm, like, when I compare to what I write now versus what I was writing then, I mean, it sure looks like a bowl of sunshine and roses.
Not sure if that's a comment of what you're writing then or what you're writing now.
I don't know, man. I became garbage. I don't know. I used to be so clean and pure.
Maybe that's Daredevil's fault. Welcome to the trash.
No. I wrote 20,000 words about Dennis Reynolds being mentally ill. Oh. I'm way past that point. I feel wholesome being in superhero fandom now.
Okay.
Feel wholesome.
All right, so why do you think that angst and Wump and Hurt Comfort are so popular? Why do you think that fic writers love to torture characters so much, especially when they're writing the really severe Wump? Why do you think that people love to do that? We'll go to you, Bertie.
I think that they like to talk to the characters because, like I said, it's interesting to see how a character will react, like, when you're trying to break a character in a Wump fic, it's about how they react, and you can just get so many different and interesting reactions. And Hurt Comfort, you have the build up to get, you got the both, you got the breaking, and then you get the fluffy building back up that's really interesting. And like I said also before, you can work through your own emotions and your own feelings towards something, like, especially with mental illness. You can work through what feels like to have that mental illness or to have a friend or a family member who's experiencing it. You can watch someone else deal, you can get someone else to deal with it too. So you can project. So it's interesting to also to read. And that's why sometimes you just can't read
some lump because it's dealing with stuff that you haven't dealt with or you can't deal with. So I think it's just, it's popular because it's such a, angst is such a part of human life. Like, everyone's got some form of issues and angst and emotional or physical problems that they just have to react to and deal with. And it happens everyone's life. So of course, fic creators are going to take the most inspiration from it. Although admittedly, I don't think quite as many fic writers go through torture as would be implied by the amount of torture fics that there are.
Yeah, the torture fics are interesting to me because also you can tell how much or little research the person has done. Like, sometimes I'll have to back button a torture fic because the tortures being laid out are either completely over the top, like the person would die, or they're really ridiculous or silly seeming, and they're supposed to be so intimidating and oh my god what this person is going through, but they're just really silly or yeah, really poorly researched.
Mm-hmm. You can tell when people are writing torture from the movies or from a really shitty action movie. Like, it's like reading, sometimes you're reading fics that deal with first aid and like sort of stuff, and you're reading it going, I know first aid and you don't know it and you didn't even bother to Google. What are you doing? Medical inaccuracies, you can really tell. Just a thing, I'm really big on the accurate CPR. I cannot stand inaccurate CPR.
Mm-hmm. Well, research will be another episode. But yeah, when you're reading torture stuff, that's always interesting to me, right? How far people take it and how silly it can be. What about you, Bio? Why do you think fic writers absolutely love to torture the characters so much?
Well, it's that old, you know, catharsis. I mean, it feels good to watch somebody be in pain. And it feels good to write about somebody being in pain because it means that you get to experience that about something that's not your life. You know, like, instead of dealing with your problems, you can go watch Matt Murdock suffer, and then you're not suffering like him, so.
Do you think there's hey, my life's not so bad because I can put this character through so much, and so how can I feel like my life's that bad? Do you think there's an element of that?
Yeah, I think there definitely can be. I also think that there can definitely be, if people are going through something emotionally rough, it's almost like maybe it's not as much as, well, my life isn't that bad if this character is going through this, but more like getting away from your problems by experiencing someone else's instead.
Do you think there's also maybe, especially when it comes to characters who are super heroic or who have that ability to just kind of, you know, take pain and take pain and take pain, like, you know, Matt Murdock or Tony Stark or the characters we've been talking about, do you think there's also an element of kind of wish fulfillment in the sense of if this character can take this much and still come out the other side of it, then I'll be okay?
Yeah, I definitely think there can be. Another thing is, I also think that a lot of people really think that characters are pretty when they suffer.
Well, you know what? I will say this. I mean, people's love of Matt Murdock in terms of his looks, and as well, people's obsession with comic book Hawkeye. I mean, those mm-hmm. are two characters who spend most of the time that you see them covered in bandages, beaten to within an inch of their life. And there's something about all the bandages mm-hmm. and just the downtrodden kind of scruffy, I literally just pulled myself out of a dumpster and came here, kind of a look that, yeah, is very sexy.
I knew that Matt Murdock would be one of the great loves of my life when he woke up in a dumpster in episode 2. I was like, we got a good thing going here, don't we? This yes. is going to be a good thing.
I think a lot of people had it in episode 1 when he got out of bed groaning.
Yeah. You know what? That's true. Mm-hmm. I think that I noticed that it's especially boys that people get really like this about. They're just pretty when they suffer.
So we're going to move on and we're going to do some fic recs. And we'll start with you, Birdie. So I've asked you guys both to bring an example of a fic that really does kind of angst or womp or hurt comfort really, really, really well. is a good example of the genre. So, Birdie, tell us a little bit about the fic that you're recking today.
I'm recking this fic called A Ghost on the Black Box. It's a cabin pressure fic. It's tagged as angst, but I'd probably put it... It's probably like mum, almost, because it's... Well, the summary is when tragedy strikes MJ and Air, Carolyn's life is shattered, and she picks up the piece in the aftermath. It's not really hurt comfort. Like, the last end of the story still has me in tears. The whole point of the fic is that three of the main characters are dead. I can give that away as a spoiler. It happens in the first couple of paragraphs. It's not...
Presumably people will see the character death tags too, right?
Yes. Yeah, so just... One of those things that you... Character death is one of the things I think you should really go into mostly eyes wide open, because it is generally... It can be a bit of a blow. And this fic is about dealing with what do you do when you lose everything you love? How do you deal with that sort of thing? And the whole... It demonstrates the idea that angst, a womp especially, is just everything's broken and dealing with it coming out.
Excellent. All right. Well, not excellent for the characters, but excellent for us to go out and read that fic. All right. So, Bio, do you want to tell us a little bit about the fic that you're recking today?
It's called Walk Through Ghosts. It's by August Bird. It's a Sherlock Jung fic where basically the premise is Sherlock thought they would have forever to figure it out. And so John gets married, and this was like back during the season two hiatus. John gets married, and Sherlock basically spends the whole fanfic pining. And I mean, that makes it sound like the premise is really brief, and it's a long fic, but it's really, really great. And I just think that that talks a lot about the relationship angst that we were talking about earlier.
Excellent. All right. So thank you guys so much for the fic recs. And now I'm just going to ask you, and we'll go back to you, Birdie, to give us some final thoughts on angst, womp, hurt comforts, maybe a point we haven't brought up yet. So what do you want to say just to end things off, Birdie?
A few times during the episode, we kept talking about how we're trash for liking the really dark stuff. And I'm like, I think I probably want to reassure people that you aren't trash for liking that sort of stuff. There's a reason there's so much of it. It speaks to something in a lot of people, that people want to read it, that people want to write it, that it's not trash, it's not rubbish, we're not bad for liking this sort of stuff. It's just, there's nothing wrong with liking dark things. It's just part of life.
That's a fantastic way to end things. That's a great point. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, because, I mean, there are a lot of us. I mean, three of us are sitting here and we all love it. And obviously, like I said, if you go to AO3 and you look at the tags, there are a lot of people out there who love them some angst. So, yeah, absolutely. Bio, what about you? Final thoughts?
I don't know. I was just really happy to get to talk about this, because sometimes you do feel kind of alone for liking these really intense sort of fics. I mean, even though the tags are packed on AO3 with people who write these things, because they're a lot of the times taboo subjects, you know, oh, I'm writing about my favorite character being tortured, how was your day? Because they're sort of taboo subjects, you still do kind of feel that guilt for liking them. And I guess it was really nice to talk to two other people who like it, because, I don't know, you think that even though there's all these fics that you're still alone.
Well, you're definitely not. And hopefully we will also hear from some listeners and get some feedback when this episode airs as well. Kind of confirming that. I think a lot of people are going to really appreciate this episode, because, like I said, there are a lot of angst lovers out there. So that's our show for this week. Now, before I leave you, I do want to share an interesting piece of listener feedback we received this week on AO3. It came as a comment on our gender and fan fiction episode from a couple of weeks ago. MF22 had the following to say about that. So, slash fics are mainly written because male characters are more developed? Sorry, but that sounds like an excuse. If there are so many female writers, then you have the chance to flesh out, say, Pepper or Natasha, both of whom you brought up. and you should be informed that many male readers are automatically driven away from a story that has a slash pairing. When I click on male slash female, it means that I want male slash female fics only. It doesn't mean fics that have, say, Clint slash Natasha, but sneak in Steve slash Tony or Steve slash Bucky. It seems like at least 75% of the male slash female fics pull this stunt in some fashion. When we see that in a fic, many of us automatically skip said fic and see what the next fic is about, even if the slash fic is well written. Case in point, I was recently reading a Spider-Man fic, but then noticed references to a Steve slash Tony relationship. There were no warnings or alerts about a slash pairing, so those references raised an eyebrow. I immediately stopped reading and won't be picking up where I left off. Slash is a no-go in my book, and the same goes for the ABO trope. Now, I wanted to address this comment because I think it speaks to something that was unfortunate about that episode, which was our lack of male perspective there. Now, we did reply more fully and address some of the other points that the commenter made, and you can read that comment on AO3 if you would like, but here's the most important part of the response that I would like to add to today that addresses what this commenter had to say about male readers being driven away by slash pairings. And what I'm going to say is this: your kink is not my kink, and that's okay. That's a saying in the fanfiction community, often abbreviated and found on kink memes, and I think it's a really important one to keep in mind as you all listen to this show, because we work very hard to really try and represent a variety of perspectives and not to shame anyone for their fanfiction preferences and what they choose to read or write. I do think that the writers of Slash are likely aware that many people, and I would argue not just men, don't like Slash pairings. I disagree with the fact that most men don't like them. I think that there may be a great many gay or bisexual men, or even straight men as well, who enjoy them, just like it's a generalization to say that all women like them, but some people don't. Just like some people, as the commenter says, don't like ABO, and that's fair. But the writers of those fics do not write them for the people who don't like them, and it's really as simple as that. I do agree with the assertion that people should always warn for things or tag for things that people may not want to read or be aware of who their audience might be. If you're not sure if you should tag for something, tag for it anyway. Better to be safe than sorry. As a writer, you have a responsibility to do that, absolutely. But in general, it's very important that we all be tolerant of one another and that we all recognize that while we may personally find something repugnant or squicky, there are people out there who don't feel that way, who maybe love what we dislike, who seek it out, and who are grateful to the person who wrote it. And that's who that person is writing for, not you. So live and let live. The abbreviation is YKINMKATO. And you'll hear me actually say the full phrase at the end of this show and at the end of every show going forward, because I think it's a crucial message about the fanfiction community and about what our show is trying to achieve. And I want to thank MF22 for their comment, because it reminded me that I had wanted to do that, and I was happy to respond to it. So thank you so much for that. As always, a huge thanks to Peter Chakowski, otherwise known as Rock Paper Cynic, for creating our logos and our theme song. If you are interested in our show and you want to support it, you can find us everywhere. Well, not quite everywhere, but on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and now also on AO3. And you did hear me right. You can use or subscribe to us there and have our show delivered to you just like a new chapter of that fic you love so much right now through AO3. Please come out and review us on iTunes, because that does help our show to gain a bigger audience, and it does really help us to spread our message. You can also follow us on Twitter or Facebook and see contributor bios and get additional content on our Tumblr at otpodcast.tumblr.com. So thank you everyone for listening, and remember, for the first but not the last time, your kink is not my kink, and that's okay.